Thank you for the partnership that's being established to care for the most vulnerable so that they can be safe and that we can work together for their good. We thank you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you, folks, for letting me be part of it. I know you've got to do your business, but thanks for letting me be part and offer the invocation. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's get started. Everybody get a chance to look at the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any changes need to be done? Anything there?
No.
Well, can I get a motion?
So moved.
Bag it.
Wait, okay, sorry, you guys broke up. Who made the motion and who second?
I moved.
I second.
Okay. Thank you, David and Dwayne.
I think we did it both same time, so.
We'll split the next one, Dwayne.
All right.
All right. Well, we're up to Gary's report. Gary, wrong. Remember, you're being videotaped.
Okay. Well, when the weather was good, we started doing some ditching. We've repaired some lawns and driveways from the plow damage where it was major issues. I have a completed inventory. Been patching roads. We had to replace a drag link for the steering on the O2 International. We were down 2 weeks for the COVID-19 outbreak. We came back to work today with a full crew. And I do have copies of a quote for the cold mix paving that was asked for. One thing, we were asked to leave the wheelbarrow outside for recycling last weekend. And Friday night, somebody decided they needed it worse than we did. So I had to replace that. The one thing I don't know if a decision will be made tonight, but I do need to know shortly on how to proceed with the shale bank permit because the time is getting near on that. The deadline for getting it filed is May 27th. Otherwise, the pit has to be closed down and reclaimed, I assume. It definitely would be closed down on the reclaiming. I'm not sure. I've got to find out from DEC on that.
And we've got two bids on that, correct?
Yes. One was twice what the other one was. The lowest, right. The lower bid was $6,000 to prepare it.
And that's good for how long?
5-year permit.
Okay.
Do you remember what it was? Do we have any documentation of what it was 5 years ago?
It was done for free 5 years ago, but the guy that was doing them is no longer around. So it's always been done pro bono by Soil and Water, but I talked to Pete Nichols, and Steve has left, and Pete does not do them.
Oh, Steve Hers used to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he retired.
Yeah, that was kind of pro bono.
The other problem with that is we pay for a 5-year permit, and it's possible that that piece of property gets sold. The people that own it apparently want to get rid of it. So at some point, not tonight, but we should discuss looking at that as a possibility of taking over by the town.
The permit itself, I believe, was around $800 plus the preparation fee. And I know that Cobuskill Stone, the reason they keep the Cobuskill quarry open and take a few hundred ton out of there every year is because they can't afford to reclaim it. So it's cheaper to keep the mining permit than it is to reclaim the property.
And does everybody understand what would happen if we have to reclaim it? How expensive that would be as a town?
It would have to be back as near to the original grade as possible. It cannot be filled with like ditch fill. I mean, it can some, but it has to be covered with topsoil, seeded, trees planted. So you're talking a major operation, which there's no way the town could handle that with our crew. We don't have the equipment or the manpower to do it.
So topsoil would be expensive anyways.
Yeah.
Right. So in either case, we're looking at some type of financial obligation. Just one's going to be much more substantial than the other.
Right.
Yeah. The short term is we either buy it or we lose it entirely, but we have to fix it. So it's going to cost us a lot of money one way or another. Obviously, purchasing the property as a, you know, just a shell bank is probably a lot less expensive than actually reclaiming it for them and then them selling it. So,
what's the acreage? Does anybody have an idea on what the actual acreage is?
I believe it's about 30 acres up there. I could check.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you, Gary.
I said I believe there's around 30 acres there. I could check.
30 acres.
He handled all the permits, and it just got lucky to come up in my terms. So.
Right.
But the pins are in place for the boundary markers and all that up there. And the people that own it, I know they are talking about splitting part of it off. If they do, that's why they took it back off the market, because they wanted to subdivide the one piece out that's right behind their parents' house.
And you said the Brummagens own that?
Yes.
Gary, what's your opinion on how much material would be there for the future use? Is it something, how much has been used and, you know, how much is left?
Yeah, there's quite a bit of material in there, yeah. And
okay.
My thoughts are,
because I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to also, we're going to have to weigh that out.
Right.
With how much material is in there, you know, to, you know, for it to be profitable for us to go ahead and pull the trigger and purchase it versus still doing the permit and, you know, what's the value of that land if, you know, how much material is actually there.
Right. Even if the town did purchase it, the permit would still have to be in place.
Okay.
Town of Worcester, they're pit right on Route 7. They have to have a permit for that and everything. So just because the town owned it wouldn't mean that it would be permit free.
No, that's not the point. The permit's pretty small in the value of the whole thing.
Right.
It's the claiming aspect that concerns me, because, I mean, you know, who wants to waste all this town money on putting stone or dirt and topsoil all back in?
Right.
For somebody else to sell it off at a profit. You know, it just seems like they've already profited once on the town by charging us to pull stuff out of there, and now we have to fix it. So it just seems like it would be a waste of money on both ends if we just let it go. Especially, Gary, you can speak to this. What's the cost of getting shale somewhere else versus where we're getting it now?
Well, I don't really know what. There's only a couple options, and one I wouldn't even look at. The other,
you had given me a figure at one time per ton. It was, they were considerably more, right?
Well, the shale right now, we've been paying $4 a load for, and crusher run is running $8, right around $8 a ton right now, picked up at the quarry.
So, you know, our costs go up. Now we're using our own truck to go get it. It just,
I mean, the shale still has to be,
it's something that's going to come to a head at some point soon.
Right.
So I just think that, you know, we should probably talk something about negotiations on the property.
It can still be sold even though we do have a permit. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So given the amount of material that is potentially there, is there a chance that over time this could be something that the town could use as something to financially gain from? I mean, we could certainly, I mean, we have the option to use the shale ourselves, but something we could use as a point that the townships may need it as well?
I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
I think we'd have to do an engineering study to find out just how much shale is back there. They'd probably have to do some core samples to see how far back it goes. the question would be, what else could we do with that property after it's been depleted? I mean, do we have to bring it back to its original, or can we do something else with it that's profitable for the town?
Yeah, if you maintain the permit, I don't believe so. This is all stuff I'll have to find out through DEC.
Okay.
Does anybody know the Brummagens well enough to ask them seriously if they're, you know, what is their time frame?
Well, the actual owners of it are your neighbors over there, Barb and Larry.
Yes, Schaefer.
They're the actual owners.
Yes.
Okay.
I did ask Barb to think hard, long and hard about a dollar amount.
Okay.
Right now, nobody's really talking about buying it, but
right. She
does want to move it. So, hopefully she'll come up with a number and we can go from there. But it's just something I wanted to put in your heads to start thinking about, because long term, I don't think we could afford it. to let it go back to its original design. So. All right.
So do we have to decide tonight? When is your deadline, Gary?
The deadline for the permit to be at DEC is May 27th.
Okay.
So
we have one more meeting. Do we?
So basically what we're at right now is we need to decide on paying this gentleman to fill out the permit, correct?
Yes.
And that was how much?
$6,000,
I believe.
$800
for the permit.
Yeah, I believe it was with Crum. I probably got all the papers right here.
Because our next meeting would be after that.
No.
Before that,
it's
awfully
close.
Yeah, next meeting is May 11th. I don't know what the time frame or how long it takes to fill out a permit of that nature.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Right now, we're giving them a month.
2.5 weeks.
Right, that's
it. Because everything has to be done in triplicate. No, I do not have Joanne's quote here.
If I remember correctly, Gary, I thought it was six and change. Yeah.
Yeah.
6,000. Yeah.
Did that include the permit?
I would have to go back in my papers and look. I don't remember.
Are they upstairs by any chance?
Yeah, somewhere.
Could you get that? Because I think we're probably going to have to vote on that tonight in order to get this thing going. Thank you, Gary. As much as I didn't want to do any new business, I was trying to keep this as brief and easy as possible. Given the fact that we have a deadline to meet, I guess we're going to have to do something with that.
Well, while Gary's looking, I can go over my town clerk report.
Okay.
That's okay with everybody.
Sure.
Yep. So dog licenses, the town took in $32. There was just one certified copy of a death certificate. Did two marriage licenses this month. So that came to $70. And three different building permits came in. One for Vincent Arbucci, Glenn Osterberg, and Stephen Malarkey. That's a total of $390. So the total taken in was 510. 457 of that goes to the town, and $45 went to Department of Health for the marriage license, and $8 went to Ag and Markets for the dog licenses. The tax collection for the month of March, we took in $74,987.01. The town received $1,405.44 in penalties, and so far 9 cents extra for an overpayment.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
It was more expensive for the check than it was.
Yeah. So anything under $5 goes to the town. So we got an extra 9 cents out of that one. I do have another overpayment of $10.33 pending. That came from a a financial company who has yet to return or reply to any of my emails about what they want me to do with that overpayment. So I'll sit on that, and if it's unclaimed at the end of the tax collection, we'll bank it.
Okay.
I didn't find it right away, but I do remember I gave all of you copies of it a couple meetings ago. I do remember that.
No, I gave it back. I gave you back your copy when I handed you the Lamont one.
Yeah, they were together.
They were together because it wasn't for me to keep.
Can I get a motion on the clerk's monthly report?
I'll make a motion on that.
All in favor, say aye.
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 No, I remember getting it from. All right, well, why don't we move on to, I guess we'll do the rest of the written reports in the meantime while Gary's looking for that. So as far as the highway funds are concerned,
Yeah, dog control officer, right?
Yeah. Okay, so got that taken care of. All right, so dog control officer had a couple of complaints from an old friend of ours, but that was all taken care of, so nothing major there. Our code enforcement officer has been pretty active. I spoke to him the other day, and unfortunately the Amish are still continuing to build, even though they said they were putting a moratorium on it until we had a chance to talk. There's been a number of buildings that have gone up and a number of additions. So I've spoke to our code enforcer, Jerry, and I want to continue to proceed to serve them. He's sending them letters now. JR has been reluctant to actually have the sheriffs go serve the Amish.
Right now we can't serve them.
Well, this was prior to that.
Wow.
He actually stopped it from happening. So I think at a future point, we're going to have an executive session to talk a little bit more about this issue. But in the meantime, basically, we've had a number of
Do you want him to read everything?
Yeah, do you want this read?
Do
you have this in front of you?
Michelle, for the record, does
it would help, since this is going to be an audio file going up online, it would help whoever's listening just to know what you guys are looking at.
All right. So basically, let's see, on 3-3, you got a check for $237, or turned over a check for $237 for all the projects within the town, which we already went over, Vincent Arbucci. And the others, let's see. Yeah, you read it.
Okay, I'm going to read it. He's not going to want to read it. Okay, on 3-3, he completed and mailed the U.S. Census report regarding residential accessory buildings permitted in February of 2020. On 3-10, he carried out a final inspection at Steve Hall's project, an addition to a single-family dwelling at 468 Clove Road. A certificate of compliance will be issued. On 3-12, he carried out a preliminary final inspection at Alex Cobell. Is it Cobell? Cobell's project, a new single-family dwelling at 618 Clove Road. He met with the owner and provided a list of items that needed to be completed before a certificate of occupancy could be issued. On 3/13, he carried out a final inspection at Scott Telfer's project, a new single-family dwelling on Bush Street. He provided a list of items that needed to be completed before a certificate of occupancy can be issued. 3/16, he carried out peer depth inspection at Vincent Arbucci's project, new residential accessory building at 285 Cemetery Road. On the 16th, he carried out a rough framing inspection at Ruben Weingard's project, a mud room, a wood storage room added to the dwelling at 104 Gordon Road. The Amish have their own style of building, using hardwood for framing lumber so they can downsize framing sizes. They have also carried out some of the work without inspection, which has not been uncommon. On the 16th, he met with Steve Malarkey at the town office. Steve states he plans to construct a third building approximately 20 feet by 30 feet at his site at 110 Lawyersville Road, which will be used by himself for agricultural purpose. It will not be a public building. Note, on 3/17, Jerry met with Mr. Malarkey and issued VP number 2-20AG and ZP number 0220AG
permits, basically,
for the 20 by 30 building, which will not be open to the public and used by the owner as an agricultural building. Owner is in the horticultural business at 110 Lawyersville Road. A check in the amount of $50 for the agricultural permit will be turned to the town clerk on the 17th during her normal hours. It should be noted that Mr. Malarkey spoke with this chief, Jerry in concern, as on the other end of Lawyersville Road, a structure very similar to the one he plans to build was approved by the town of Cobleskill as an agricultural building, and it is a building open to the public. The town of Seward has spoken with Code Division Office in Albany numerous times and asked if an ag building can be used to sell farmers' products out of, and has been told over and over again, no. The town of Seward has been told by the New York State Code Division, if a building is being used to sell a product, even a farmer's produce, it is an M-class building, mercantile, and thus the building must meet snow, wind loads, and accessible to handicapped individuals, as well as meeting other safety and sanitation requirements. An agriculture building has no designing other than the owner's wishes. No wind, snow, load verifications, no safety or sanitation features. Neither does it have any inspections or certificates of occupancy, certificates of compliance, and it is not required to meet any codes. That was his note. The last is on 3/20. He issued building permit and a zoning permit to Glenn and Tammy Osterberg at 300 Rhinebeck Road to replace two old sheds with one new one. The $103 permit fee will be paid to the town clerk by Mr. Osterberg. And then it says, note, from Friday, March 20th through March 31st, 2020, Jerry will be working from home, handling situations via telephone. Two final inspections were requested, and he has made a list of them and will carry them out per COVID-19 slowing down, not putting anyone in danger by entering their home and doing inspections. All have agreed. Jerry.
Okay. And last but not least, basically from our assessor, the assessor's office is extremely busy this time of the year. March 1st has passed. Now it's putting all the exemptions in the New York State V4 system. During the economic conditions we are in, I have been working out of my house. The same office hours are being utilized and much more. Prior to the pandemic, I was worried about getting my assessment role for CAP 2 ready. I am far ahead of my prediction. My assessment role will be done in time for the 2020 tentative role by May 1st. I was able to place the majority of larger new construction on the role. The office answering machine contains my cell number. Anyone can call anytime, and they are. All outstanding items have been addressed. Our office worker, Jane Hickey, did work up until last week. She is currently waiting for the coast to be clear. The assessor has been able to drive past the majority of new constructions and place them on the assessment roll. Over the summer months, the assessor will then go back and measure the buildings for the inventory and photo updates needed. Grievance days. Town of Sharon is June 2nd at between the hours of 5 and 9 p.m. Town of Seward, June 3rd between the hours of 5 and 9 p.m. And then Town of Carlisle, June 28th, 1 to 3 and 7 to 9. PM. Believe it or not, having this time to devote to CAP 2 has been beneficial for me as the assessor and the townships. Being able to address all outstanding items has been great. Again, if you hear of any questions or comments, please let me know. Dave Jones, assessor. So, those are your reports. Any motion? Who is that?
Me, Dwayne. Make a motion to adopt.
Any second?
Second that.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Done. Yeah. All right. Gary, did you find it?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Okay. Ken estimates a lump sum fee of $6,000 to $6,500 to perform the mining permit survey. The boundary survey will include the following: research of records for the property and all adjoiners at the office of Scarry County Clerk, real property tax mapping services, and Scarry County soil and water as necessary. Field reconnaissance, running basic and traverse location of all pertinent physical features. Office computations and analysis, iron pins set in the field as necessary for mine limits. Preparation of map series as needed by DEC, two sets of final survey map, and number of sets requested by New York State DEC for mining permit. We will also complete all necessary paperwork except for signatures. In order to proceed, we would need a written authorization. Balance would be payable upon completion of the project.
And okay, and then we still have the permit, correct, after that? Pardon? And then we pay the permit after that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's another $800.
So my question is, and I don't know because I don't know this area well enough, we have the bid that you're talking about. Who is that with?
Joanne Darcy Crum.
Darcy Crum. And then yeah. We have the other bid. Was over. Is there anyone else to check with?
The only other possible one would be a firm out of Albany. I'm sure they would be quite high.
What's their name?
I have your card here. Let me run upstairs and get their card.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I guess my question to you guys are you good with two, what are they called?
Bids.
Or, do we need more? Do we need, I don't know. I'm just asking because I work for Lamont, so, and we came in high, but I can't. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is there's only two of us that do it in this area. Do we look outside the area? Is it, what do you guys?
Typically if someone does come from out the area, and they travel a distance, they're going to charge you, a more
right
volume, right. Of money there. But, they seem to be, a reputable company. They've done a lot of work, local work. I don't know.
Right. You're talking about the, yeah, I think so too. just was wondering what your opinions were, having that you guys were from this area. Oh,
yeah. Down the road, you might need the third one.
Say that again.
If we ever get audited down the road, you might need the third one just to prove that just you
show that we're at three.
Right. Well, and I mean, it's yeah. And just because they're in Albany doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be higher. It means right. that they have more people on staff that could do it, and it could be something they do on a regular basis, and that could be cheaper. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. But do we have time for that? I mean, you'd have to basically do it this week soon.
Right.
You give them time to fill anything out.
It still doesn't give us time to vote on it and get it going.
Right.
Could we entertain this idea of having that third party make that bid, or at least have them come out, give their quote or and or bid, and then authorizing Gary to take the, I guess, the lowest priced option?
I would say that if Gary were to make the call, and they could come and give us a dollar amount within, I don't know, what is it, seven working days, so that we're not down to the point where, you know, we're scrambling to get it done at the very end.
Right. Barton and LaJuice, or LaDice. From what I understood of the gentleman that was at the Bone Breakfast, they work more on preparing grants and that type of work, but I could check with them and see what they do also.
Well, are we all in agreement that we probably need three just to be safe long run?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. Yep.
So if we said, Gary, go ahead and find a third one.
Okay.
And we give him the go ahead tonight to say the lowest one is the one we go with, even though we aren't sure which one that might be, although we kind of have a feeling right now. Are we all in agreement to do that?
Yes, I am.
Yeah,
I
am too.
Yeah,
what about Richard Late? Is he still doing that type of work?
I know he did surveying. I don't know if he got into all of the mapping and everything that's required for this.
Okay, so maybe just strictly surveying is all he got into? Okay.
I believe that's all he did.
So, Gary, do you think you could find one more for us?
I'll do my best. That's all I can say.
In a fairly timely manner, like in the next day or two?
I'll get on the phone tomorrow. I'll see what I can come up with.
All right. So, how do we make a motion on this?
We may have an issue with that, though. If they're not considered essential, they may not even be interim phones.
Hmm.
Here's my out for you, though, is if that's the, you've made a faithful attempt to get the third quote and you are unable to get the quote because of the COVID shutdown, you are on a deadline. So as long as we document that.
Yeah, I would go with that.
If it cover you.
I think so. And I think, Gary, you have to really make good notes of who you called, what time you called, the date, and who you talked to or who you didn't talk to.
Yeah, especially if they're not answering the call.
If you left a message and they never called you back, give them 24 hours and call them back. If they don't call back in 24 hours, they're not. But you have to really make good, copious notes, because that way we can show in good faith that we've tried.
Right. Okay.
You know.
All right. So can I get a motion to approve Gary's decision on the lowest bidder based on that third one that comes in to go ahead and prepare the documents needed for a permit, mining permit?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'm going to abstain. I can't vote because Lamont was a part of it. I will not vote.
So I'll vote. Aye. We're all in.
Okay.
All right. Do we have anything else for Gary?
The only thing I thought of the other day about, and every year it comes up, is Patrick Road.
I've been working on Patrick Road. If it wasn't for this COVID virus, to be honest with you, Steve Wilson's been telling me every time we've had a meeting that he's got some options in the works. The biggest problem with Patrick Road right now is the fact that, one, it was prior to Irene, and nobody took any money then. And two, because of Irene, and because of the county being sued over the way the stream banks have been taken care of, it's behind all that. So they've got to get through the stream bank issues before they can do anything on Patrick Road. Now, the Patrick Road front section that was supposed to be worked on this year, I think that was, what, $175,000 project. Yeah. We can't start that because it's non-essential. So until this COVID virus is over, there's not much we can do about that one right now. But the bigger project, Steve has assured me that I should say it differently. Steve has given me hope that there is money that he has found to help us fix the issue. And it'll be coming from the state and from also FEMA to rectify that issue. So we'll see what happens in the near future. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, just as long as when we get ready, people start hitting us with questions.
That was like the very first thing I threw at the supervisors meeting was that I had that issue because it was so high on John's priority list. And he dragged me out there to see it along with JR. And unfortunately, it's continuing to fall in. And it's creeping its way towards, you know, either direction of the road. The problem is that there's 150 feet of just sand. So when they did all the boreholes on that area, it's nothing but sand. There's no stone in there whatsoever. The only way you can really fix it would be to change the stream angle and, you know, backfill it with stone and then bring in new fill. So it would be a very, very expensive repair that the town doesn't have the money to do. So we need the state's help to get this thing done in any manner. And because it's part of the stream, now you have the DEC, you have the Environmental Conservation. There's a number of other state and federal government agencies that get involved. So we can't even step foot in the water to do anything down there without creating a problem. And we don't need a lawsuit with those guys right now. So it's at the forefront of my wants, but it's on the back burner until we get through the stream bank issues for the county. So hopefully that at least will help you if somebody were to ask you what's going on. It's not off the table. Anything else?
Gary, at the end of that area by John's house, that turnaround, does that still have the Jersey barriers on it up there?
Yes, it does.
Okay. They're still in place. Is there anything on the other side, side towards Richmond? Yeah.
Yeah, there's two Jersey barriers there. And the orange plastic barriers that are filled with stone along with dirt piles.
Okay.
I do have to get down there. Some of it is let go underneath one of the barriers. The one end is kind of hanging out in midair, so we've got to either move barriers or dump some fill over it or something there to support that one barrier.
All right.
Gary, I have one update for you and one question. The update on your the highway superintendent employee manual.
Yes.
We'll pick that up when we can meet together when the quarantine is over. Right. And we're also going to get a copy of one of the other towns' highway employee manual. And we're going to kind of look at that too as a reference, but I didn't want you to think that I forgot about it, but ready to proceed, but we just can't meet. Right. And my other question is, how are you coming on with the inventory that you said you wanted to do for all of the equipment and different things?
I have that completed.
Oh, great. Okay. Are you going to give us, do we want copies of that? Or are you going to tell us or what came of that now that you've done the inventory?
It's about five pages long. There was only a couple of smaller items that were missing, which could have been lost, but basically everything is here.
Great. Okay. Good to know. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
I can. It's about 5 pages long. I can make copies for everybody if you'd like, or whatever.
Or I can scan an email if that works.
For yeah. Me. I mean, I'm not sure I need a copy. I was just wondering what you do with it now that you had it. What did it tell you? You know, mostly. But if you're good with it, I'm good with it. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate
it. It'll be in a file with all the other inventory copies upstairs.
Perfect.
Okay. Let's see. So, supervisor's report. Basically, Michelle, do you want me to go down each one? No, you're just the total, correct?
Yeah.
So basically on the highway funds, Gary spent $4,690.27. That's the total.
That's the second page.
And then on the second page, we've got an additional $2,198.89 for a total for the entire month of $6,889.16. Would anybody like to know anything on this, or have you had a chance to actually look at it?
No, the $2,100 was material I had delivered by Cobeskill Stone for road repairs, emergency repairs on Decatur Road. Plus some to have on hand so we didn't get caught without any material on repair roads.
Yep. The rest of it is mostly maintenance.
Maintenance.
And
repair to the trucks, painting and that kind of stuff.
And diesel fuel for $468. So here's a question I have for you, Gary. There was the front loader was sitting out in front of the dirt pile the other day when I went over. I was in the building for about a half an hour and it was just running. Nobody was around it. Is that the county's front loader or ours?
Which side of the pile was it on?
It was on the front side.
That's the county loader.
That's the county. Okay, so we shouldn't worry about that.
Right.
Do they use our fuel?
No, they have their own tank.
Okay. All right, so can I get a motion to approve the highway funds?
Don't make a motion.
Doesn't matter. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And we got the general fund. Let me make sure there's not a second page on that. Oh, there is. So for the month, we spent $6,424.36. Anybody have any questions on that as far as what we paid?
No, I don't have any questions on
that. Motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? So adopted. Did those. And then we have the sewer bill. Do we have a sewer in town of Seward?
Yep.
Yeah.
Where is it? I'm asking for a friend.
Anyone know where it is?
Yeah, the septic tanks over there right
by the church parking lot. Leach field is down across from Dan Niston's.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay. Oh, so, I think I remember.
So who do we pay? Is that somebody that actually owns it? I don't want to sound like an idiot, but.
The town of Seward is billing the town of Seward?
There is a person over the sewer, Tony Kaleza, but there's also another person who is part of the Cobeskill Water Treatment Plant that oversees all the testing and everything over there, as far as I know.
So is that what we pay $118 a month for? Is that what that's for?
I had no idea.
Well, that's for the quarter.
Or for the quarter, excuse me. But is that what it comes out to be, Michelle? It's for testing?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what that's for. The bills come from Tammy, the bookkeeper. She's the one that draws up the vouchers. But Tony would probably be the best person to ask sort of questions. That's always kind of been separate.
I'll find out. So the bill is made out from the town of Seward to the town of Seward. It's for $118.99. It's for the quarter. But that's basically it. And it says sewer rent, which is why I question it. But anyway, can I get a motion to adopt?
You'll make that motion.
Do it now. So, Romain, you made the motion. Dwayne, you seconded it?
Yep.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. So be it.
On the note of sewer stuff, I did talk to Tony. He was talking about the valves to switch the beds over. He was over there, I believe it was the end of March, and one of the valves is apparently getting stuck or close to stuck. I think it was a few years ago we had the same issue.
Okay.
Something that we may want to keep our heads up on, that might be an upcoming bill to deal with to get that either replaced or fixed again.
For the sewer?
Okay.
I believe he switches that over, he switches that over, twice a year, right? Once in the fall?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
So we probably have to get that thing squared away before winter. All right.
If Tony needs to have a look at it, get going on before the thing really seizes up.
Right.
Yeah, he said it was quite the challenge. I think Dan Miskern came over and they tried to leverage it out with some pipes and a whole bunch of stuff, but he said it was not very cooperative.
Okay. All right. So we'll get on that.
That's usually Blake Equipment usually handles that repairs over there.
Right. Yep.
Would you, Gary, when you get a chance, would you text me their phone number?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. So going over some old business, I'd like to go over Gary's salary and get that out of the way. We were waiting on petitions. We've been waiting for issues, and nothing has come to fruition, Michelle. Is that correct?
That is correct. The 30-day referendum period expired on March 25th, and I received no petitions. So therefore, Local Law 2 can officially be adopted. And it has been sent off to the states already for filing.
Okay. So, can I have a motion to adopt?
Well, you don't really need the motion. You guys already.
Well, it's already been done, right? We just had.
Yeah,
to wait.
You've already motioned. Yeah, you don't.
Need all right. To so we're good again. To go.
Yep.
So congratulations, there, Gary.
Thank you.
And just a note for all of us. We are paying Gary's salary. We are not paying for the future of Gary's Medicare. So that's on Gary. Okay. Let's see what else we got. So COVID-19, just to give you an update, I got an update today. We have one person that has passed away from it in the county. There are 20 cases in the county as of today. So that is the number. They won't tell us where, and they won't tell us who, because of HIPAA laws. Not that we would want to know anyway, but it's just to give you some numbers, facts based on what's going on. I've heard a lot of rumors about where and when and how many people have got it, but those are the official numbers. So at least you know.
Bad tire. They weren't testing early on, so.
Well, yeah, you know what? Wendy was sick as a dog back in, January, February? So who knows? I mean, but that's the point. There is testing available for anybody that wants it.
Now,
yeah. But you eventually we'll be able to test to see if you actually had it or not, which will be a good thing. We are low on the priority list. When you look at all the different counties within New York State, we're one of the lowest. So hopefully that makes you feel a little bit better. That or we all got it really early and we're just so healthy that, you know what, survived. So that brings me to the other thing I wanted to talk about with COVID. For the most part, we know that elderly 65 and above or anybody with any breathing issues are the most affected. I had spoken directly to the church, one of the churches, and asked how we could help as a town, primarily because the way it is right now, shut-ins or anybody that is elderly that's going to get in their car is putting themselves at risk of getting COVID. So the idea was to keep them home and safe. But on the flip side, the churches are delivering meals or preparing a food bank. And in the food bank, they actually have two choices. They can get, all the fresh foods and milks delivered to their home. And then they also have the option to get all their soups and grains and things like that. So they have the daily needs and then the weekly needs through the church. The church has also provided a number of volunteers, and you're more than happy. I'd be more than happy if any of you guys wanted to volunteer to do that as well. But that's going to be with the, what's the name of the church? The Zion Church?
I think it's the Zion Church in Seward. Is
it's
that correct?
Right in the center, Seward.
Right in the center across from Nancy and Dan Nistern's place in that big parking lot. Is that the Zion Church?
Yes.
Okay.
They have the food bank.
That's where the food bank will be placed.
Yeah.
Working in conjunction with Cobleskills churches. And they had a meeting last week. So now that they've done that, the entire county of churches is working together. So what I offered as a service and asked each one of you, and unfortunately, Romain, I did not get in touch with you, but I was looking for support primarily to help them replenish their stocks. The way I see it, as taxpayers, we're all putting money in, and it's nice once in a while when the town comes together and gives a little bit back, especially to the people that need it. And I think this is probably the most needed time. So under the circumstances, anybody 65 or older or is a shut-in, that is the eligibility for this program. The nice thing about it, when I talked to you before, it was going to come directly out of our general fund. I proposed it to the county on Monday. And what I have found out is that FEMA, as long as we keep our bills, FEMA will reimburse us. Office of Aging will reimburse us. So there's a number of other federal and state agencies that will help us do what we're doing. And the way it looks, we piloted it as the town of Seward. It looks like more towns are going to get involved and do it as well. So we started the thing, it's going to basically start scaling up. So basically what I wanted to do was put it on paper that we have a motion to do this. David felt very, very concerned about what the dollar figure might be like, that we should have a cap on it, and I agree. So the way I put it to the reverends was basically bring us in $1,000 increments. You know, if you use $1,000 worth of food, we'll write you a check for $1,000. But we won't write you a check for $10,000. So you have to keep coming back to us as needed so that we know it's directly replenishing what Seward is using, not other towns or other churches. So that's basically the litmus test. 65 and older, shut in, and $1,000 at a time. We can shut it off anytime we want. They never asked for it, but I offer. So that being said, can I get a motion?
Can I pose a question first? I know, Earl, and I think I brought this up. I don't want to say leery, just the, I guess, First Amendment pieces of one religious denomination over another. I mean, are we set from that standpoint? I'm thinking like an establishment clause type of piece from the legal perspective.
It's open to all churches, and that's why they had a county meeting between all the churches in the county. Every church leader was on the call. So we've covered all the churches. Now, if there's some, you know, unknown fundamental group or something, that's outside my realm, and I'm just basically trying to help with the replenishment of the food bank. So because the one church is center of town, it was the easiest to logistically start from and right. work out of, because they already have that situation. They're in conjunction with the church in Cobleskill. So it wasn't a matter of, oh, let's pick the Catholics over the Lutherans over the, it was just basically what made the most sense. And believe it or not, the churches actually worked really well together to make sure that was exactly how it is. It's one church or one center place for each town.
Okay.
And are you concerned that, what was your concern? That some people would not be served based on their religion or what?
No, not so much the serving portion, but the idea of a state agency, in this case, a local government, providing in some cases funds for a religious purpose.
And this is where I got into it with Bill Federice, who is basically running the county. When I proposed it to him, what he said was, as long as they're billing us, they're actually giving us a bill, there is no church state issue.
Right.
They're billing us. If we just donated money, that would be an issue. Okay. But as long as they're actually sending us a bill for X amount of items, everybody's good. So from a legal standpoint, we're clear.
So, and from the outside agencies, FEMA, for example, do we have an idea of how much or how far they will reimburse up to? Do they have a cap on that?
Believe it or not, it sounds like there's quite a bit, but I wouldn't say that there's millions. I wouldn't say there's hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, I won't tell you exactly what the number is, but there's enough there to take care of the county. But basically the way it works is we supply and then we provide the bill back to FEMA. So we have to keep, again, just like Gary, we have to keep, you know, copious notes, or at least keep the bills accountable so that we can turn around and hand it to FEMA, and then they'll reimburse us.
All right. Erwin, you might have said something, and I might have missed it, but what line item is that going to come out of?
Well, we'll have to look at that. But right now, you know, we've got quite a bit in our general fund to work with, so I don't think it's going to be tremendous. I haven't looked at the line items, to be honest with you. But I know that we have plenty of reserve funds if we needed to pull that to do it, especially knowing that we're going to get reimbursed. It's even easier.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, really important is to let, you know, the taxpayers know that there is going to be a reimbursement. Mm-hmm. You know, I think everybody, you know, and myself included, you know, certainly wants to help in any way. And we have, it's just, you know, when you're talking about taxpayers' dollars, I think we really need to dot your I, cross your T's, and make sure that we can show where this money is going to be going to, and to make sure, you know, that it's going to the proper places. Because like we all know, sometimes you can make a charitable donation someplace and then you find out, well, 80 cents of it actually went to right. someone else that it didn't really go to where it really was supposed to.
Right. Well, the way it's set up is the Office of the Aging is giving the churches in throughout the county, giving all the churches the names of the elderly that are either shut in or above a certain age. They've already identified. The churches have their own from their own flock, correct? So they know who needs help as well. We will only get billed for what we supply in the town of Seward. So if somebody lives in Carlisle or somebody lives in Sharon, that's on them. So our churches that are working are only supplying for the town of Seward. So when we get a bill, it will be for people that we've actually supplied food to in the town of Seward. And that was right up front. I mean, when this whole thing started, the idea was only the town of Seward. But because I had to talk to Bill Federice about it, he thought it was a great idea and wanted to scale it up. And that's how it took off within the county. And the churches basically wanted to do this anyway, but they all decided that they would work together to make it that much bigger. So all the food comes out of the food bank in Albany, and then all the fresh food comes out of our local grocery stores here. So that, you know, again, milk, eggs, things like that will come right out of town.
Yeah.
There, cut off date.
As long as this COVID virus is still in place and people are still sheltering there, it will continue to go until we decide we've spent enough. And I will keep you apprised of what we're spending.
You know, I'm just going to, I guess,
see it in our bills.
Do you feel more comfortable as a board to, I don't know, can you put a limit on it? I mean, can we put a limit on a date limit? Because we don't really know.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions asked, you know, I mean.
So we need to know the answers so that,
right.
So right now, Bill Federice has declared a state of emergency in Schoharie County. So do we say until it is lifted and the bans are lifted? I mean, I guess I don't want it to appear like it's going to be open-ended and we're doing this from now on without some sort of an end.
Well, I think one of the big things in this is going to be the transparency of how we roll it out. It's like Romine was talking about with the taxpayer dollars and making sure that people understand it's going to be reimbursed. Right. In that same sense, we can look at different times saying, hey, this is going to be capped, whether it's a date or whether it's a monetary amount of, okay, once we hit this threshold, we'll come back and reassess and reevaluate. And you know, do we want to continue? Do we want to change increments? I think there's different ways to do it. I mean, altruism is a great thing, especially during a time of crisis, which we're in, but we also have to make sure that we're being very clear about why this is taking place, how this is taking place, and where the funds are coming from and where they're being distributed to.
I agree.
Yeah, I personally would like to see some type of either a date or a figure myself, just so, you know, we can explain it, that it's not a blank check.
So why don't we do it this way then? Why don't we make a motion to agree that we're going to do this, and every meeting we will decide if we're going to move forward to the next month, and we will cap it at $3,000.
To be discussed, or I mean.
Well, we'll cap it at $3,000. I can't imagine between now and May. And let's face it, if it really gets bad and things are that bad, we've got a lot more to worry about than what a few taxpayers are going to say. But I can't imagine that it's going to go over that. So in my mind, between now and our next meeting, $3,000 is probably a lot of money to replenish, because they're obviously buying in bulk. They get a discount. That discount is handed off to us as well. And again, it's for replenishment. So as their food stocks go down, they're going to replenish, they're going to hand us a bill, and then we can vote on next month if we want to go forward again with the same amount in the same amount of time. And if it gets really bad between now and our next meeting, we can hold another meeting, an executive meeting, to do it once more if we have to. Would that work for everybody?
Yeah,
that would work for me.
Yep.
So can I get a motion? See if I have to put that in words. Yeah. Michelle, what do you think?
Yeah, if you want to summarize that in a few sentences, that'd be great.
Can I get a motion to limit the expenditure to $3,000 per month with a reevaluation at the next meeting as to whether we continue or not as needed? How's that?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Is it possible, Erlen, when a replenishment takes place, that we could just be notified about how much that was?
Absolutely. Easily done. Again, I told the Reverend that we would do it at $1,000 increment. my guess is they'll probably give us a bunch of smaller bills than that, but we'll pay them as needed. And then, you know, I will keep a tally, and once it gets over $1,000, I'll call each of you guys so that you know exactly what the dollar is and how it's trending. How is that?
I think it'd just be good to see how it's gauging and how the, you know, it's, I guess, working itself through, basically, you know, if there's big, you know, lumps and humps throughout the process, but.
Sure. Well, this is, you know, this is something new for them as well as us. It's never been done in the county before. The way the county's talking, it's never been done in the state before. So it's brand new. The idea here is really we're piloting it. So if it works well and it goes smoothly, I got a feeling you're going to see other areas do it besides our county. But on the same token, you know, yeah, there's going to be, you know, we're going to trip here and there and figure it out as we go along. And that's where, you know, if I have to make a phone call to each one of you individually to discuss it and get a feeling of where we're at with it. But the nice thing is I've got a good enough connection now with the Reverend who has led this since we started. In fact, he's the one that gave us the invocation that, you know, I can tell him, look, I just need to know what's coming. How much is it coming? How much do you need? And so on and so on. And he can give us values before he even gives us a bill. I mean, again, I go back to the fact that they weren't asking. I just thought it was the right thing to do.
When did they start?
Well, they'll start as soon as we made the motion and basically.
Oh, then, yeah.
This is the first step here was to get this on paper. So now we can move forward. I actually speak to Meg over at the Office of Aging tomorrow to figure out more of the nuts and bolts of it, because I got a feeling that what we just went through is probably never going to happen. My gut feeling is that the Office of Aging is going to take it over and work directly with the church, and we'll never see anything. But we'll see after tomorrow. So we just need to get past this, get going. So I will either send you an email as a group so that we're all on the same page so that you know exactly what came from my meeting tomorrow, or I'll give you guys a call individually and let you know. Okay?
Sounds good.
Yep.
All right.
That's right. We're going to have a public hearing next month for Grievance Day. She wanted you to say that out loud.
Thank you, Wendy.
You're welcome.
Did you have the date? Where's the date?
At the next.
All right, give me one second.
What? Just ask.
Okay, so on May 11th at 6 p.m. will be the public hearing for Grievance Day for any changes to your assessment.
Is there an alternative date for that? Because there's a possibility we may not be out of this by then.
Well, here's my, from moving forward, we have to adapt. So if we are still close to the public, I've seen other towns publish this in the paper as a legal notice. I can publish that it's a public hearing closed for in person, but I can, if anybody wants to participate and listen in, they can send me their email address and they can join just like we're doing right now. I mute them though. So that they're not part of the discussion, but they're here, they're listening. They could type questions, I suppose, in the chat box, without disturbing the flow of the meeting, but to not hold public hearings that, you know, we need to get the grievance day needs to be done because it's in June. So we have to do that. We were supposed to do it today, but I postponed it just to give us a little more time to get our bearings with going cyber here. So but if everybody's okay with me doing that, that's if we have to still run meetings this way, I would just include the link. I wouldn't post the link. I would ask people to email me their email address so they're only getting a private invitation to join the meeting if they want to. And I'll still record the meetings, post the audio files on the website, so we're covered there as well. But and if nobody joins in, then we're good to go. But at least we put the invitation out there if somebody wants to join us on Zoom.
that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know, do we want to make a motion on that? That we, to just proceed forward with any future public meetings, whether it be public hearings or town board meetings, to do them via Zoom with asking the public to join in?
Well, here's the thing with public meetings right now, because of the state of emergency, we have the ability not to allow the public in our meetings.
Right. But that's not the interpretation I got from the town association, though, was that we do have to provide them with a means to listen in.
The only thing we have to do is give them either the audio file or the minutes. We don't have to do more than that.
And those have to come. Those have to come by FOIL request too. They have to make a FOIL request in order to get minutes in a situation like this. But that's different, though, than the public meeting that we have to have.
We can have a public meeting for X amount of time for grievance and hear those people, provided they've emailed in to get the invite, right?
Right.
And then once they're done, we can turn off the public end of the meeting and just go back to this format, because we're under a state of emergency by the county.
Okay.
So we have that ability. So I'll put it to you this way. Do you want the public to sit in on our meetings in general, or do you prefer it to be like this, what we have right now, outside of the grievance, until this whole thing is over?
I guess the question is, do we foresee any new business coming up that would need to be talked about in a meeting with
them? Well, when you talk about transparency and if you're talking about expenditures of taxpayer money, I think we do need to at least give the public the opportunity to listen in and hear that. Even though they're going to hear it after the fact, it is after the fact.
Okay. That's your opinion. Anybody else have an opinion?
I don't mind them. Oh, go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Alan. I was about to kind of go on the same lines of what Michelle was referencing. Just we're talking transparency, and yes, I understand state of emergency, and it is an unprecedented time, but in that same sense, to give and allow still that voice. I mean, the technology that we have all these abilities to control meetings and keep them going through, but I think it'd be advantageous to have in an open, not quite an open forum, but at least a true public meeting. That way that, you know, to get information afterwards is one thing, but to have it right contemporaneously is a much more powerful option, I think.
Okay. Dwayne?
I'm in agreement with Dave and Michelle.
Okay, so you're all in agreement. All right, so then it's official. It will be an open meeting from this point on.
Michelle, is it easier for you if you just print the
invite?
The invite in the paper, so they have the meeting number so they can sign on themselves?
Given the security issues going on right now with some of the Zoom meetings, I'd rather them make the effort to email me so that I can invite them, and then I'll know who we're expecting to join the meeting. There have been some cyber attacks of people crashing meetings.
Crashing.
Uninvited. So I really don't want to put the private link out there for just anybody, because we don't want people who don't belong to the town to really, well, I don't want to say that. I guess it's a public meeting. Anybody can come, but, I think
are you going to make a notice for that then?
I'll make a public notice in the paper. Probably the week before the meeting.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you were all aware that that's our choice. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to sway anybody either way. I don't care. It's just, I wanted to make sure you understood that you had a choice in this matter, because all the county meetings are totally 100% closed. Mm-hmm. They have had a reporter sit in on a meeting now and again, but nothing more than that.
Okay.
no public. So with that said, then I guess we're good to go with the open meeting. Do we need to make a motion for that or no?
Is it a different time for the grievance day, or is it all in handled at 6:30?
The public meeting for the grievance would be 6 o'clock, and then the regular meeting would be 6:30.
Okay. 6 and 6. Okay.
Anything else anybody want to talk about?
Yeah, I'd like to just add, when Michelle had sent the written reports and the audit of the bills and the minutes and everything, and enabled us to print that off, I'm a big fan of that. That was nice to be able to have it where we didn't have to try to make a connection, you know, to pick them up. Or I know it's added more work for her, but it was nice to be able to just go in there and print them off and have them right away.
Okay.
Yeah, and I told Romine I don't mind doing that, even if when we get back to normal, if we want electronic files instead of paper files, it's really time-wise, it's not too much different than me having to fight with the photocopy machine to make copies of everything. So
I like having it early to actually sit down and read things instead of, because I feel rushed sometimes.
Yeah.
In the meeting, trying to digest it all before we have to start, because I don't always get there an hour early.
Well, it helps to be able to go through the bills one at a time on your own leisure, right?
Yeah. Thank you for doing that.
No problem.
Yeah, I greatly appreciate it myself. It was nice. I think it worked out great.
Yeah, it worked out very well. Thank you.
Well, there you go, Michelle. I guess you know what you got to do from here.
All right. Electronic files it is.
Build it and they will come.
All right. Well, anything else or are we done?
I guess before we adjourn, did we have motions to approve some of the other written reports? I think we're missing a couple of the reports I made.
Yeah, we were. I believe the dog enforcer and I think the assessor we were missing, weren't we?
Oh, I thought we did those all in one bundle.
Did we all one fell swoop? Did we get in the supervisor report as well?
Yeah.
Okay. That was one fell swoop then. All right.
No, everything but the dog catcher and the assessor and Jerry. Code enforcement were done individually, but the three of those were done in one fell swoop in the beginning.
Okay, that's why I was. That would explain it.
Sorry, I'll make sure that I do them individually next time.
All good. It's all good.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, then can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Have a wonderful night and stay safe and healthy, guys.
Yep. Take care, everyone. Good night, thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.